Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what did Golda Meir answer when King Abdullah of Transjordan asked her to postpone the Declaration of Independence of the State of Israel? The Declaration of the Establishment of the State of Israel was proclaimed on May 14, 1948, the fifth day of Iyar on the Hebrew calendar, by David Ben-Gurion, who soon became the first Prime Minister of Israel. It declared the establishment of a Jewish state in Eretz Israel to be known as the State of Israel, which would come into effect on termination of the British Mandate at midnight that day. Independence Day, Yom Ha'atzmaut, is celebrated annually in Israel on the 5th of Iyar. Golda Meir was one of only two women to sign the Declaration of Independence. She later went on to hold several positions in the Israeli government, eventually becoming its prime minister. Ignacio Uria is a professor of international relations and contemporary history at the Rey Juan Carlos University in Madrid. He's also a member of the research group in recent history of the University of Navarra and a senior research associate at the Cuban Studies Institute of Miami, Florida. He participates in the Historias Mínimas section of the weekly radio program Las Tardes de la Cope and is also a contributor to the magazines Nuestro Tiempo and Alfa y Omega. He's investigated the life of Golda Meir in depth, and this week he's sharing with us some little-known facts about Israel's Iron Lady.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Ignacio. Could you tell us first just a little bit about Golda Meir's life in case some of our listeners don't really know very much about her?
Golda Meir is a very well-known woman in Western history,
especially when she was elected Prime Minister, the second Prime Minister in the world after the famous Mrs. B in 1960 in Sri Lanka, and of course Indira Gandhi in India in 1966. Golda was the one and only Prime Minister in the history of Israel during 5 years, since 1969 until 1974.
You mean the only woman?
Only woman. She has been described, you know, as the Iron Lady of Israeli politics. The term was later applied to Margaret Thatcher, the British Prime Minister, but Golda was the first Iron Lady. Former Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion used to call Meir the best man in the government, And she was often portrayed as a strong, wild, straight-talking, gray-bonnet grandmother of the Jewish people. So when Golda resigned as prime minister in 1974, the year following the Yom Kippur War, she was, as I said, a very well-known politician. And she died in 1978. Of lymphoma in Jerusalem.
Can you give us a little background? I mean, how did she get to be the prime minister? How did she get to Israel? Where was she from? Just briefly.
Yeah, she was a woman with a very difficult childhood. She was born in Kiev in Ukraine, and then Ukraine was a part of the Russian Empire. Golda was born in 1898 as Golda Mabovich. Mabovich was the family name. And a poor family. Her father was a carpenter with a family with a cultural Judaism. They observed the Sabbath, the kosher food, the Yom Kippur, but they were not religious, not really a religious family. Many brothers and sisters, eight, but only three girls alive. Golda was the second one.
I think that was very common in those days. Many children and a lot of child mortality.
At the beginning of the 20th century, it was very common. And his memories about her childhood were defined with three words. Golda defined that period of her life with three words: cold, hunger, and fear. Of course, and wild pogroms against the Jews in Kiev. So all the family went to the U.S. in 1906. So after this strong childhood, her life changed very very much in the United States, in Wisconsin, when she found a new kind of life in a Western country. She lived in Milwaukee until 1921, when she made Aliyah, the immigration from the diaspora to the land of Israel, after she got married. And during the next two decades, in the 30s and 40s, Golda was working very hard because her family was small, but the life in the Mandatory of Palestine was very, very difficult at that time.
Where did she live?
At the beginning, they arrived to Tel Aviv and they settled in Tel Aviv, but only for a few months, because Golda wanted to live in a kibbutz. And then finally, all the family, her husband, Maurice Meyerson, and she, to the kibbutz of Merhavia near Nazareth. And for the three next years, Maurice and Golda lived in a kibbutz. And after, at the end of the 20s, Golda lived between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv all the time, changing the city. At the beginning, working in a trade union, the Histadrut, the main trade union in Palestine. And then when David Ben-Gurion called Golda Meir to be part of the government, not the Israeli government, but all the organization around David Ben-Gurion and Moshe Sharet and all the people that were working with the British mandatory in Palestine.
Mandate.
Yeah.
So tell us what happened later with the independence of Israel.
Golda was elected a congresswoman in 1948 after the Declaration of Independence, but her first work for the new state was ambassador, the first ambassador in Russia. After this role, only 6 months in Russia, Ben-Gurion asked Golda to be a vice prime minister, but she declined because she wanted to be the minister of labor, because she had a very strong feeling about all the people that were arriving to Israel. When she came into the cabinet, she preferred to be a minister of labor and housing also. After this, she was minister of foreign affairs until 1966. And after 1 year and a half of retired, she was elected as prime minister until 1974. Until her death in 1978.
I know that you've studied her life in depth. Can you tell us anything particularly interesting or something unusual about her that people generally might not know?
We talked before in the beginning of the program about a very interesting thing. In 1948, some days before the Declaration of Independence, around May 10, I think 4 days before the official establishment of Israel, Meir traveled to Amman, disguised as an Arab woman. And why? For a secret meeting, really, with the King Abdullah I of Transjordan. The name of the kingdom was Transjordan then, at which she urged him not to join the other Arabs countries in attacking the Jews, in attacking Israel.
Because they knew there was a war coming.
Yeah, because after the Declaration of Independence, a coalition of Arab countries were going to attack the new baby country, Israel. And Abdullah asked her not to hurry to proclaim the state. And Meir replied, "We have been waiting for 2,000 years. Is that hurrying? Waiting for 2,000 years." At that moment, she was the head of the Jewish agency political department, and Meir called the mass exodus of Arabs before the War of Independence in 1948 dreadful. And she likened it to what had befallen the Jews in Nazi-occupied Europe. I like very much this meeting with the King Abdullah, because the real Golda Meir was present with all her strong character and determination to defend the state of Israel. At the beginning, I remember my interest in Israel was born when I was a child, thanks to a Jesuit priest, because he loved Israel. I think he was living in Israel some years, and I remember him talking about Moshe Dayan and the 6 Days War. When I started to research about Golda Meir, I didn't really know very much about her, but I think that is a very, very, very inspiring woman with a strong character. Very, how can I say? Is a real person. And I think she was not a politician in the sense that we think about the politicians, because she was very, very interesting and very committed with her job and the people that arrived to Israel during the 50s and 60s.
They say that she was very approachable, that she used to take public buses and that she invited people over to her house for coffee. Can you tell us anything about that?
Many people call Golda the grandmother of Israel, because she didn't change her way of life from her first years in the kibbutz of Merhavia until in her life as prime minister. And the last years of her life, she lived also in a kibbutz again. I think she liked very much the one-to-one contact with the people, and she had a well-known sense of humor. And you can see marvelous pictures with Richard Nixon laughing very much, because Golda had a good sense of humor, and she was quite normal. I think that she didn't think about her as a politician. I believe that she thought that her role was only a special mission during years serving Israel. But many times she said that she would prefer to live in a kibbutz all her lifetime, trying to build the socialism and the Zionism from a kibbutz. But the life changed, and she was very committed with her mission and served Israel as much as she could.
So that she had basically two sides to her personality that were very opposite to each other. Know that she, on the one hand, could be very, very strong, and they called her the Iron Lady, and then on the other hand, she could be very human and approachable.
You can do that things at the same time, I believe, because her style of life as a refugee in the United States was a key moment in her life. And she always said that her first worry was defend Israel and defend the people, the Jews and the people in Israel, deciding all the things that were necessary, and always trying to defend her philosophy, her ideology, but without change her vision about the world and her vision about the society that they were building. So after the two big crises during his time as prime minister in Munich during the Olympic Games, when the Arab terrorists killed 11 Jews, men and women, and after during the War of Yom Kippur, Golda didn't doubt about the decisions and about her responsibility. She was the prime minister, and her responsibility was not shared with other people. She was the last person to decide what to do, and she didn't have any problem with this.
I imagine that growing up in the United States, her English must have helped her a lot once she was in Israel with relations with other countries.
Yes, of course. And she didn't talk Yiddish or Hebrew very well, because her mother tongue was Ukrainian, but she preferred to speak in English always. And during the 40s, this ability, this skill was very important to take more responsibilities in the area of foreign relations. And when Golda visited the United States, more or less the American politicians thought that Golda was in any sense a part of the American country. It was, she is one of us. She is one of us. And I believe that she always thought in English and then translate, because she was very comfortable talking in English. This skill, it was very important to elect, when David Ben-Gurion elected Golda as prime, not as prime minister after the independence, but before, during the summit of Evian, when all the Western countries and USSR trying to do something with the Jews refugees in Europe, Golda was the person that represented the Jews. And to know and to speak English, it was definitely a big skill for this role.
Is there anything you would like to add that we might have left out? Anything interesting?
Golda was important, and I think that she is important nowadays, and we're trying to recover her role in politics, because she was a real person. She was a real woman in a world of men trying to humanize the politics, not only in Israel, also in the Western world, because he was the very first woman managing a Western country. And this thing, this character as a strong woman, but also sensitive with the people, sensitive with the suffering people, I think is very inspiring for everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.